Thanks for tuning in to the New Life Apostolic Church YouTube channel and website at nla.church. Once again, that's nla.church. We're excited to hear God's word at our Sunday worship service and pray you're blessed by what you hear. And be sure to come back and join us for an in-person experience with great worship, singing, and of course, a message from God's word. Let's go there now and hear today's message.
Thank you, praise team. Thank you, Brother Chad. Thank you, musicians. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. So right where you're standing, if you could just take some time to greet the people around you in your little community there. Welcome them to New Life. Tell them good to see you. Congratulations to the 49ers for winning yesterday. Amen. God is definitely in this place. And I appreciate everything that's been done to usher in the presence of God. We know that God is always present. He's always moving. We're the ones that have to move with him. We've got to get in the rhythm of things and really acknowledge that God is here. And tap in to that stream of power that is constantly flowing in and out of our lives, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. It's up to us to consecrate ourselves, to get in touch with God and his spirit in Jesus' name. We are still in the 21 days of prayer and fasting. We just ended the second week. How many are enjoying their fast so far? Hallelujah. How many of you just told the truth about fasting? The Daniel fast. I remember the first time I did the Daniel fast, and I forgot what it was, but I think it was something with tofu and veggies. It was the most dreadful thing I've ever tasted in my life. But then I was reminded that Daniel ate nothing pleasant. So it's not supposed to be pleasant. But we take our time to look for recipes and get online and get with brothers and sisters and get on Facebook and social media. How can I make this pleasant? It's okay. It's still a sacrifice. I'm telling you, you put a plate of oatmeal seasoned with date honey next to a plate of huevos rancheros and potatoes and beans. I'm going for the huevos rancheros. So it's still a sacrifice. Amen? Hallelujah. And I want to share with you really quick before I get into the message of what the fasting is all about. I know we've been talking in and out about it, but just to give you the purpose and what God is looking for in a fast. This is in Isaiah chapter 58. He said, cry aloud, not spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? They're saying basically, we're fasting and you're not acknowledging it. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, the Lord said, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as they do in this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this the fast? Is this Jesus, actually, the Lord said, this is the fast that I am interested in. If a day for a man to afflict his soul, is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? If thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord, basically, you guys are doing it all. You're doing the sacrifice. You're doing the work. You're humbling yourself. You're bowing down. You're basically doing everything that's been called to do in a fast. But that's it. You're just going through the motions of the fast. You're doing the work. He said, but this is what it is. Is not this fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is not to deal thy is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, to share your bread with the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thine house? When thou seest the naked, that thou shalt cover him, and that thou not hide thyself from thine own flesh, meaning don't hide yourself from even from your own family. Come out from around the inside the temple and do the work that is the heart behind the fast, is to go out and do the work of God, bringing healing to a people, feeding those who are hungry. See, God isn't as interested in what you're eating or what you're not eating as much as he is interested in the motive and the heart behind it. That's the true fast that the Lord is calling us to. Then, this is what's going to happen for you. We fast for different reasons, right, Brother James? We fast for salvation. We fast for healing. We fast for deliverance. Different reasons that we're fasting to. Then the Lord said, if you do this the right way, the fast that I have chosen, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, meaning your salvation will come in the morning. Hallelujah. And thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be reward. Basically speaking, you're going to get your healing. Your healing will come. This is the fast that the Lord has called us to. And I just wanted to share that with you. It's okay. You can do your recipes. Hallelujah. Praise God. I do it too, man. Trust me. Bland oatmeal. God, sometimes, God Almighty, help me. So I do it too. But I don't want to lose sight of what the reason is and the heart that's behind it. In Jesus' name. Man, I seen someone a while back. A brother was talking to me about a fast. This was years ago. It was fasting, and he's talking to me like this. Brother, it's just really hard, you know, but I've been doing it for the honor and the glory of God. You know, I just want to keep fasting, brother, but I'm doing it every day, brother. I've been doing this for 2 weeks already, brother. And I'm like, bro, get in the car right now. I'm going to go buy you a hamburger. Get in the car right now. You're going to fall over any minute. You got to be responsible when you're fasting. God is not going to get honor if you die while you're fasting. He was fasting to the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. No, you've got to be responsible when you're fasting. Jesus said, don't do it in a way that people can see you and say, oh, look at him. He's so skinny. Praise God. So we got to do it for the right reasons. Is that right, Brother James? Hallelujah. Then go get the huevos rancheros at Connie's restaurant. And the potatoes, side of hash browns, extra crispy. I can go on, but I'm not. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, praise God, thank you. Welcome to New Life, everybody. I don't have the remote control for this up here, so if you can help me out, tech teamers, there is the message in today's message entitled Divine Intimacy. We're going to talk about divine intimacy. We're speaking about the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a theme for this year, of course, and we're getting into different avenues as to what that means for us as believers. But I do want to say that one of the greatest desires of God, God's greatest desire, is to be intimate with you, is to have a relationship with you. That is his greatest desire. So if you don't have it, I'm going to give you I have it on PowerPoint, but I'm just going to read it to you. Johannes Kepler, which is one of the famous German astrologer. He was a devout Christian as well. He was also a mathematician. He was a poet. He was a philosopher. He was a music writer as well. He said that my greatest desire is that I may perceive the God whom I find everywhere in the external world, in like manner also within, inside of myself. Being that he studied the universe, knowing that God was the creator of the universe, his desire was that for God, just as he fills everything, was to fill him. And everybody, this is humanity's destiny. This is the destiny of all mankind, is for God to reside in him here on earth. It's for you, for your family, for your friends, for your children. This is what we're all called to do, and this is where we all should be, is in God's presence. So, if you could turn your Bibles, and we'll take a seat after this, 1 Corinthians 2:1-6. Is it up there yet? No. 1 Corinthians 2:1-6. As a matter of fact, we're going to start at 1 Corinthians 2:11. You have it? Say amen. It says here, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Turn to your neighbor, the good looking one. Not that one, the good looking one. Tell him God wants to show you great things about yourself. Thank you, Jesus, Lord God. We pray right now, mighty God, that we have an anointing here today, Jesus. We're looking for a move of your spirit. When we're ending here, Lord God, if you need to get me out of the way, please let me know, Jesus, and I will let you do what you do best. I pray for an anointing on myself that I can bring forth the word exactly the way you've impressed it in my heart. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So with regard to the Holy Spirit, God not only wants you to come to him, but he wants to reside in you. He wants to make your, he wants to make his home in your heart. This is his greatest desire. His greatest desire is you. You, John, you are God's greatest desire. Seth, you are God's greatest desire. Everyone here in this room, you are God's greatest desire. And this is, like I said before, your destiny that you should reunite or restore your relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you a little bit what I mean by restore. By the end of this message today, I have confidence in Jesus Christ that you're going to see that you have an intrinsic link or connection to God more than you've previously perceived. More than you know, you have a direct destiny with God. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience. When I first came to New Life, I know I've probably told you this testimony before, but I came in a midweek service. It used to be on Thursday nights, pastor over there in 2nd and R Street. And friendship group, everybody had their friendship group on Tuesday nights. And I came to visit, and I came from a different denomination, totally different. And when I walked in to the church house, everybody was jumping around having a good time. And that's not something that I was used to, but as I sat down next to a friend of mine that I knew from childhood. It turned out he's actually my wife's cousin. And he was explaining to me what was going on, because he seen the look on my face. He said, let me tell you what's going on here. He said words of, this is the Holy Ghost working. And it just went over my head, the Holy Ghost working. Okay, got it. And after 15, 20 minutes, I walked out. I said, I can't do this. You're supposed to worship God. You're supposed to kneel before you sit down. And you're supposed to do this thing and everything, you know. And sit there quietly. And this, what's going on here? It's blasphemy. So I walked out, and Brother Ruben Flores followed me out. He said, hey, why are you leaving so soon? He said, I don't agree with what's going on in there. It can't be right. He said, we do it because we're celebrating. And the Bible says to worship him and celebrate with trumpets and cymbals and everything. Just like you do in games, right? You celebrate because your team is winning. We're celebrating. I said, okay, all right. I'll give it another try. And in Jesus' name, of course, 6 months later, I was baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But I mean, I think I seen Brother James run the aisles, man. He used to run the aisles a lot back then, Brother James. He used to be running and waving his hands like this while he's running, you know. He was like a running back. You know, first I seen him run, I'm like, what's going on? Fire. It was Holy Ghost fire, right, brother? But, so I got baptized in his name. I received the Holy Ghost a couple weeks later. But I was still had reservations a little bit because when I was growing up as a kid, you know, I processed things differently. I'm a visual learner. I draw pictures when I'm learning. Teachers would often, they would get mad at me because they'd think I'd just be doodling and drawing pictures while they're teaching. And I'm like, no, I'm doodling because this is the way I learn. I'm drawing pictures so I can put together what you're telling me. So this is the way I process information. So I didn't always take everything at face value. I'm a very, very analytical, and I think that's one of my downfalls is I analyze too much sometimes. But I process things differently. I ask questions. And in the past, people have often written me off as not being a team player, as being defiant. Oh, you're just starting trouble. I go, no, I'm really asking because I'm trying to process everything. I'm trying to draw a layout in my mind of what you're saying. So I need clarity. Based on what I know, based on what I've learned, you're telling me something different, but I want to process it differently. I draw pictures, man. So I wouldn't take everything at face value. I'm better at it. I really am. I'm a lot better at it. I've learned too that there's more than one way to skin a cat. Okay? There is. So just because your way is not the way that's being used doesn't mean that your way won't work. You just wait and see. Then maybe it'll make sense later. I don't know. But I never took things as face value. So when people would tell me things, I would hear things like, slain in the spirit. Man, that sounds scary. I don't want to be slain. What does that mean? Tell me what it means. Holy Ghost filled service. Okay. Holy Ghost filled service. All right. Am I in it? Everyone's jumping and having a good time. Okay. I should be doing it too. This is just me. This is how I process things. I mean, sometimes people are having a great time and the music's going and the worship leader is yelling in the mic and people are clapping their hands and they're hooping and hollering. I'm thinking, what are you saying? I can't hear what he's saying. What's he saying? I want to join in the fun too. But this is who I was. So with regard to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, I was looking for something. I was looking to draw a picture. I was looking for substance. Something that I can practically hold on to. And I'm not trying to override faith. No, faith is absolutely important. And a lot of times, truth, if I say something to you and you just accept it, later on, I have a fear that if you didn't fully understand what I was saying, that truth could have helped you from going through a lot of suffering if I would have just explained it to you. This is me. This was me. I needed something to hold on to. Speak to me in practical terms, man. Maybe I'm not as smart as you are, but speak to me in practical terms. That's how I was. Like I said, I'm a lot better now. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you can ask somebody around there. No, you're still the same, guys. So, with regard to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. This is what I was reading and looking into and really learning. And because God is holy. And He alone is holy. And God is Spirit. And there is only one Spirit of God. Only one. He is one Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is just essentially another term for the one God. And it's in this scripture here, I don't want to scare anybody, but this scripture is evident of the Holy Spirit being God Himself. When the Pharisee, when Jesus Christ was healing, he healed someone, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they came down and said, oh, He's doing it out of the power of demons and Beelzebub. And Jesus Christ, He knew their thoughts. He said, look, man, hey, hold on a second. How dare you? Shame on you. You being the leaders of this people. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ even told them, you sit at the seat of Moses, at the governing seat. And you're saying that I do the work through the devil? He said, how can a house divided stand? How can the devil cast out the devil? That doesn't work. But he was basically telling them, shame on you. Let me tell you something. You're getting close. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either here or in the age to come. So he's basically warning them. He said, be careful because you're getting to a realm you don't want to get into. Because why? Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is God himself and Jesus Christ. So you can say whatever you want about man, about this flesh. But when you're regarding the Holy Spirit, you need to watch out, is what he said. So he warned them. He warned them that, hey, you're talking about the Spirit of God. Hey, blaspheming God in the Old Testament was punishable by what? Death. So it was a serious offense. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, okay? Chances are you didn't commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit if you're worried about it. God, did I do it? Lord, help me. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to give you the importance and make evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit is God. So the question I ask, why is there a need for this? Why is there a need for the Holy Spirit? And I know that pastor gave us wonderful reasons when he preached a couple weeks ago. And the reason is that it emphasizes a particular aspect of God. It emphasizes that he who is holy, who is omnipresent, and an invisible spirit works among all people, and he can fill the hearts of all people. Let me go to the next slide. No huevos rancheros for you. So when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we are speaking of God in activity in the lives of humanity. It refers to God working among us to regenerate our fallen nature, and it enables us to do the supernatural will of God. Everybody close your eyes. Bow your heads. Some of you are feeling compelled to at least start praying and interceding right now. Some of you are feeling a tug. Something has to happen right now. That's the Holy Ghost working in your heart. That's the Holy Ghost prompting you. You can open your eyes. Did you feel it? I'm sorry, was I the only one? Okay, let's move on. The Lord is saying, Fredo, let me catch up, man. You're moving too fast. So it's God working among us to regenerate our fallen nature and enables us to do the supernatural will of God. Even our worship. Even in our worship. Jesus Christ was speaking to the Samaritan woman. They were having a conversation of worship, and you know, we're going to worship there, here, and we're going to worship there. And Jesus Christ said, hey, look, listen, there's going to come a time where you're not going to worship him here or over there, but when you worship him, you're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Meaning that you're going to worship him in the daily lives that you lead, wherever you're at. Whatever you do, whatever you say, is going to be worship unto God. In spirit and in truth is by his word. Living righteously. This was the edge of the close of the end of this dispensation of the law. And he was trying to bring it out to people. It's not just about what you do, but rather it's rather what's in the heart and the motive behind what you do. So you're saying, so you need my spirit to have the heart of God, to have the heart to do, to live righteously. You need my spirit. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it with our own companion, in our own strength. We don't have the capacity. We have different types of philosophies. Man, I've heard some philosophies out there, boy. It's like I'm not even going to open up that can of worms, man. Like, I'll let you say what you're going to say. Our own philosophies, even around the Bible and around God. You know why people draw up their own philosophies about God in the Bible? Because they stopped reading the Bible. Okay, I'll say it again. People draw up their own philosophies about God in the Bible because they stopped reading. They stopped learning. So they draw up their own philosophies about what they think is right, what they think is worship. No, and the worship that God is calling us to is a worship that he approves of, which is in spirit and in truth. Hey, the Apostle Paul, he said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, talking about Jesus Christ, on account of sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. And yes, this is a righteousness requirement of the law, might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus Christ did for us what we could never do, was to fulfill the law. The law was perfect. It came from God. It was wise. But it was weak flesh that was trying to fulfill it in the Old Testament. So from the beginning of time, God had a plan. I'm going to pour my spirit on humanity through the sacrifice that I provide in the flesh. I will fulfill, not put away with the law, but fulfill it. Why? So you can live in his righteousness. Not according to the flesh, not according to your own philosophies, your own ideology, but according to the Spirit. Our most powerful human faculties can never comprehend the full extent of what God has in store for us unless we receive his Spirit. Our most powerful intellectual, mental capacity could never fully understand or even comprehend everything that God has in store for us. We can't even fathom it. Proverbs 1:23 said, Jesus Christ, the Lord saying, turn out my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. And I will make my words known to you. Turn from my rebuke, and I will pour my spirit on you and make my words known to you. This is talking about intimacy. We're talking about a relationship. The prophet Joel, He prophesied about it. We've heard Pastor read a bunch of prophecies in regards to the filling of the Holy Ghost, to God pouring out his Spirit. This was part of the plan from the beginning. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, Nicodemus, we know, came up to him and said, "Hey, man, what do we need to do? You're a wise teacher. You're wise, man. You're smart. You got to be of God." He said, "Look, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit is spirit." Basically speaking, the flesh can't comprehend the spiritual things of God. You won't be able to see it. Now, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. So Joel prophesied about it, and in a nutshell, we've seen Jesus, he performed all these miracles. He healed people. He brought people back from the dead. He was teaching about the love of God. He was trying to set a precedent for everyone, trying to get them ready for the next age to come, trying to get them ready for the dispensation of grace that was coming, giving them, revealing to them the plan that God had all along. See, to most back in the Old Testament, it was secret. They were only doing what they were supposed to do. But Jesus Christ was revealing the plan to them. And of course, we know he got crucified. He basically went against the status quo, against all the leaders of Israel. And of course, they put him to death. And he came back on the third day. He rose again. And he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, teaching them to observe everything. And he was telling them about the plan from here on out. He said, "I'm not going to be here much longer. So I want you guys to continue what you're doing. I revealed the secrets to you." He said, "I will pray that the Father shall send you another comforter." And the word for comforter here in the Greek means counselor, which means someone who stands with you as an advocate to help you. Just like someone in the legal system that stands with you and he advocates for you like a lawyer. Woo, 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 woo. He said, "I'm going to send a comforter, a counselor, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." The world doesn't see him, nor does it know him. He said, "But you know him, for he dwells with you," Jesus Christ, "and he will be" what? "In you." Let's thank God for that, for the Holy Spirit right now. So it came to pass. He said, "But you got to wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Wait till you receive the promise." Pastor talked about the promise. And it came. A loud rushing wind was coming into the room suddenly. And then the tongues of fire were upon them. And they received the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in other tongues. And devout Jews were there. They were right there looking. They started listening. What's going on in there? It's going crazy, man. They're drunk. They're partying. Peter said, No. Actually, he went on to quote the prophecy of Joel. He said, "This that you see happening is that the prophet Joel prophesied about. This is that." The Lord was giving us hints of what was to come. The Lord was giving us hints of his greatest desire. Back where the prophet Joel was speaking about. God's greatest desire is you to have a relationship with and to restore the relationship. Hey, intimacy, guys, it reveals things about us to people we have a relationship with. Those of you who are engaged, you're not going to know your spouse until you move in with them. You're going to find out, ladies, that, hey, sometimes they leave their tidy-whitey briefs on the floor after taking a shower. What is going on? I didn't know this about him. See, the guys aren't laughing. Man, bro, I thought it was just me. No, you're going to reveal some things about you. Yeah, some things that aren't so pleasant about you. Intimacy reveals everything about us, even the good things. Get to know a person. They reveal things about us in intimacy. And let me tell you something, that he wants to reveal things. The Lord wants to reveal things within himself pertaining to you that you don't know about yourself. Thought you knew yourself. Meet Jesus Christ. He will reveal things about you pertaining to you because he values you. He cares for you. Where Jesus Christ was lamenting over Jerusalem. And you know, this is a direct, let me tell you, just a reminder, side note, this is a direct result after the Pharisees and scribes rejected Jesus and were close to blaspheming him, the Holy Ghost. The direct result from that. And it kind of tells us about the state of Israel today. Because Jesus Christ, he changed the way he was teaching after that. He was speaking in parables that only some that truly sought after him would understand, because they had already rejected him. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And another in the book of Luke says that when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. So that was a direct result when they've ultimately rejected Jesus Christ. And that's what blasphemy is just rejection that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. A defiant rejection, a defiant attitude. And that explains the state of Israel, because they had their time of visitation, but they didn't see it. And Israel went through, you know, all the troubles that we know of that they went through. The Jewish people, the Holocaust, even all the troubles that they're going through now, just a lack of peace in that area. Jesus Christ said it from the beginning, now you're not going to see me until I come again. So Jesus Christ knew that they were blind. They weren't willing to see it. They weren't really willing to see the truth of who he was. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians that I just read to you, that we read in the beginning there, he's trying to tell us the same thing, that there's no way we can know, truly know God without his spirit. Because the flesh is blind to it. The flesh can't see it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Somebody say mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord Jesus. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You're not going to get the full picture until you're filled with his Spirit. You think all this good stuff that you have is everything? No, there's so much more that you could ever fathom that God has for you. And the mysteries, the word mysteries there, it denotes it being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension. It could be made known only by divine revelation and is made known in a manner at a time appointed by God to those who are illuminated by his Spirit. How many want to know? I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. How many want to know all of the great things that God has in store for you? Hey. We haven't even seen what God has in store for you. No one, I haven't seen what God has in store for you, Brother Rob. You may not know it yet, but you're chasing after it. And guess what? We're not going to know the full extent. As time goes on, things just get better and better. And better and better. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, every moment's going to be better than the last. So eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Even in the days of old, in the Old Testament, they had no idea of this great plan that God had in store for humanity. Moses was considered one of the best friends, good friends of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there was no other prophet risen in Israel after Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, because he would speak to him face to face as you talk to a friend. So no one has known the things that are in store. The prophets would give you snippets of it. But the prophets were speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance. But my thought is maybe they didn't fully understand what they were saying sometimes. Maybe they did. I don't know. Don't write me off yet, okay? Only upon receiving his Spirit we are able to comprehend, see the kingdom, the spiritual, and enter into the spiritual, enter into the kingdom. therefore working in the miraculous. I enjoy seeing and hearing about miracles. How many enjoy seeing and hearing miracles? Man, I love it. I enjoy seeing the work of God, of people being healed, people getting delivered, people getting the touch of God. That's the Holy Ghost working in people's lives. And we see it almost every time. Friendship group, you see it sometimes in friendship group. Those of you who are intercessors, you experience it in intercession, God working through you. And I love hearing about those stories. Matter of fact, my first time I seen a miracle, I think it was Brother Abel Aguilar in End Time Restoration. Do you remember that, Pastor? It was, man, almost a little bit of time ago. So there was a lady who had one leg shorter than the other. And she came up, they prayed for her, and that leg extended the same as the other leg. And I was like, did that just happen right now? There wasn't AI back then. It just happened. A miracle just happened now, and I love it. But just working in the Holy Spirit, God seeks more. It's not just working in the Spirit, working the miraculous. He seeks more. And I want to ask you, we know of everything that we see around us, the working of the Spirit. We've seen the miracles, we hear about Him. But do you know Him? Do you know Him? Paul knew of Him. He knew Him because he speaks of this fellowship in the Holy Spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This isn't talking about three distinct persons. No, Paul is talking about this one God who expressed Himself, who expressed His love for us in the grace of Jesus Christ. And now He fellowships with us in the Holy Ghost. It's the fellowship of the Spirit. Let me go to the next slide here. Okay. In consecration is actually setting yourself apart to get to know God. Consecration sometimes can be lonely, to be in solitude with God. Man, I was inspired, man. Back in 2004, Pastor Joe, we would have the Saturday sessions where we would go over the videos of the leadership summit. A whole Saturday we would look at those videos, and there was a pastor, I forget what his name was, but he said he takes time every year. He goes up to a cabin, no media, nothing, just him and his Bible. Of course, he has his phone for emergency purposes. But just him and his Bible, he sits there for a weekend, just him and God. And that inspired me. When you're consecrating yourself, when you're in consecration, in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, sometimes your social events, they get rescheduled. You know what? Not today. Except the 49ers when they play. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But you're different. Because you know you're on a mission right now. It's just you and God right now. And God has something in store that He wants to tell you. Sometimes you need to remove all the distractions. This is just you and God. And a matter of fact, it may seem like you're lonely, like you're alone, but you're not. But you're not alone. Catherine Coleman, she said that consecration is lonely, but the communion of the Holy Spirit is priceless. So, and I'm trying to hurry up because I want to take some time after this for God to do something in your life. Okay? So I want to set that up here. So we know that God, he seeks a partnership with us in life. His fellowship with the Spirit is important because, number one, we're united with Christ. We communicate with him. He is with us. He is our teacher, our guide. He leads us. He is our advocate within who interprets the desires of our heart and the will of God. He gives us the power to do his will. He convicts us of sin, and he exhorts us to go to the cleansing fountain. When we're full of God's Spirit, when we fail, immediately we're prompted to go and seek forgiveness. But when we're not walking in the Spirit, failure, it pulls us away from God. He longs for an intimate fellowship with us. He longs to be admitted into the inner life of our soul. Jesus Christ said, when he came on the scene, he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what was lost was the connection, the relationship with Jesus Christ. And this, of course, is where I can tell you that you belong to God. You are his greatest desire. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. He created the heavens and the earth. And the matter of fact, he said, out of the earth, he created it out of nothing. And he went on to create the vegetation and the trees. He said, out of the earth is going to come what? Grass. Trees. Out of the water is going to come creatures and the fowl of the air. Out of the water, he made the creatures and the fowl of the air out of water. Out of the earth, all the creatures, all the livestock, everything that walk on the earth will come forth from the earth. But when it came to man, of course, he formed the man out of the dust of the ground. But when it came to spirit, he breathed life into man. And man became a living soul. You heard the term, dust to dust. Everything returns back to the ground when it dies. Absolutely. When something is a carcass on the dead cat, it decays and it returns back to the ground, just like everything else. Even we return back to the ground. But you know what? But because it belongs to the earth. But when it comes to our spirit, no, it's destined to return back to God. So your destiny is to return back to God. Because the Spirit came directly from him. We belong to God. And I want to ask you a question. What would happen to the plant if it told the ground, hey, I'm going to uproot myself and live on my own? What would the ground say? Good luck. You're going to die. And essentially, that's what we did. We uprooted ourselves from God. And God warned us, if you do, you're going to die. And now goes the state of humanity. This corrupt flesh here now dies. But your spirit is meant to dwell with God. So we need to reconnect ourselves back to God so we can live eternally in his presence. That was Pastor Morris that said that. It was beautiful, man. I heard it years ago, but it's beautiful. Because he said, know ye not that ye are not your own? So now, of course, after the fall of man, we live in this corrupted flesh. And we won't be able to see God or be in God's presence until this corruptible puts on incorruptible. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You have a direct connection to God, and he wants to restore you back to him. And you need to be filled with his spirit so this corruptible can be incorruptible. God's greatest desire is you. He wants you to get to know him because he already knows you. And he wants to tell you about the wonderful things he has in store for you. Now, at this time, I've concluded my preaching, but praise team, I'm going to ask you kindly to hold on just a minute, because church is about to start. Service is about to start. Everything that has transpired from the beginning, from where you walk into the sanctuary, the hosts, the ushers, the praise team, musicians, everybody shaking your hand. By the way, this is the friendliest church in town. Oh, you didn't hear me. New Life. This is the friendliest church in town, right? New Life. But everything that transpires, everything that happens is for this moment right here, right now. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't worry, no one's going to come by and take your purse. But we are going to allow God to do something in your life. And I'm going to tell you, look, if you came here expecting nothing, you're going to get nothing. But if you want something in return, if you want to leave differently, then that means that sometimes we have to go outside of our comfort zone. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. No one's going to be seeing you, but I'm going to ask questions. And if it pertains to you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Go ahead and close your eyes. Bow your heads. If you have pain in your body, raise your hand. If you have pain in your body, raise your hand. I see hands lifted. Every section, hands are lifted. You can put your hand down. If you feel that you've hit a plateau, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time, you haven't picked up your Bible in a while. As a matter of fact, you have questions that you feel are unanswered. You have doubts. You want a refilling. You want to be restored in Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand. Got hands lifted in every section. Hands lifted in every section. If you can go ahead and put your hand down. If you received bad news, there is something that's troubling you, stressing you out. That's a burden in your heart. You don't know, you don't see the end of it. Raise your hand. Wow. Hands raised in every section. Go ahead and put your hand down. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, and God has been calling you, and you want to be filled with his spirit so you can see everything that God has in store for you, raise your hand. Hands lifted in every section. Go ahead and put your hand down. You can open your eyes. Pastor, hands were lifted in every section here. And that's good news because God is here that can provide the solution for you. You're here for such a time as this right here. You're not here because someone invited you and you decided to show up. No, God called you and you're here. There's no coincidence in God. And I want to tell you that in a minute, we're all going to stand and I'm going to ask you to come up to this altar, those of you who raised your hands. And let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. That there was one who had leprosy in the Bible. He was a general. He was a devout man. He was a strong man, the man's man. He was very popular. And he had leprosy. And we know leprosy in the Old Testament, you would have to be separated from your family and from everyone that you know to go live in isolation. And, of course, no one knew about his leprosy. It was covered by his armor. Naaman was his name. And his maid, she was Jewish. She said, look, I know someone that can heal you. He's a prophet. You should go to him so he can heal you. And he took the journey over to go see the prophet to be healed. And as he got there, the prophet knew he was coming. And the prophet sent his servant to meet him and said to him, tell him to go wash himself. What was that river, Pastor Joe? I can't remember that river. I can't remember the river that it was, but he asked him to go wash himself in the river, Jordan. And Naaman was a little insulted, being the prideful man that he was. He was like, man, I can't believe this. He doesn't even come himself. He sends a servant. He tells me to go wash myself in the Jordan. Man, I could have washed myself in the waters at home. She just told me to stay there and do it there. And Naaman's men were like, look, Naaman. If he would have told you to do something easy, wouldn't you have done it? I mean, just listen to what he's saying. This could be your moment that you need right now. You feel it's out of touch. You feel it's unreasonable what he's asking you to do. But this is now or never for you. You can get your healing. Just do it. And he did it. And he came up, the Bible says that his skin was like baby skin, smooth and brand new. I'm going to ask you to stand. Everyone stand. Those of you that raised your hands, I'm going to tell you, this is a safe place. This is supposed to happen. Those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to make your way up to this altar. Don't be like Naaman. This could be your moment that you're looking for. Make some room in this altar. People pouring in with need. In Jesus' name. I am so confident that God is going to do something in you right now. I am so confident that He is going to give you answers. He's going to grant you healing. I am so confident He will fill you, refill you with His Spirit because we can count on Him. He never fails. Come on, squeeze in. Everybody squeeze in. Praise team, you can start making your way up. The men of God, ministers, leaders, they're going to pray for you. They're going to lay hands on you. Those of you who wanted the gift of the Holy Ghost, raise your hand once again. Raise your hand. We want to know who you are. Ministers and God, men of God, if you can see these people here that want the Spirit, and everyone else has a specific need. They need healing. They have pain in their body. They want to be restored in Jesus' name. They just heard bad news and they need an answer. They want God to bring His grace upon their situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, this is where you repent right now. This is where you ask God for forgiveness. I'm going to try and coach you, guide you through here. This is where you ask God for forgiveness at this altar right here. This is where you ask Him to forgive you for every deed, everything you've done, everything that you've seen, everything that you've heard, everything you said. This is where you genuinely seek His forgiveness. Where you make a commitment to make a change in your life. And it starts with Him. Cry out. Say, God, lead me. Lead me. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray, Lord God, that you pour your Spirit, God. Pour your Spirit, Lord Jesus, of everyone that stands here before you, Lord. Receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Receive your answer in Jesus' name. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Don't worry about what's going on around you. This is just you and God. This is just you and the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Intercessors should be interceding right now. Intercessors should be interceding right now. Breaking chains. Breaking bonds. Church, operate in your gifts. Church.
It's a mighty river. It's in this place. There's a mighty river. There's a mighty river flowing. It's in this place, and it's full of passion.